Now, we have another question, though, to ask ourselves. We're told in verse 8, though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered, and being made perfect, that is, complete, made full, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. You see, the only kind of salvation he offers is eternal. And if you can lose it tomorrow, then, my friend, it's not eternal. It's some other kind, but sure not eternal. But he only offers eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. What is obedience? Well, they came to him and asked him the question, what is the work of God? He said, this is the work of God, that you believe on him whom he hath sent. You want to obey God? Then trust Christ. That is the thing that he's saying. But the thing that I don't understand here, and I'm very frank to confess it, I stand here in the presence of a mystery. Why did the Son of God need to learn obedience by suffering? And why did he need to be made perfect when he already was perfect? And I stand here in the presence of a mystery, and a mystery that I cannot fathom. And that is, God got something out of the death of Christ that has made heaven more wonderful and has added something to heaven where everything is perfection. And that the Son of God has learned something. Now, I know the answers that men give, but they don't satisfy me. I just recognize I'm standing in the presence of a great mystery, and he came down to this earth. He took upon himself our humanity, and in that humanity, he obeyed God. He said, I've come to do my Father's will. And he's made in the likeness of man, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, and he became obedient unto death. Now, when I die, if the Lord tarry, I want to say this to you, that I won't do it obediently. I don't want to die. I think it's morbid today, and I think that folk are always wanting to die. My friend, I don't know about you, I want to live. Want to live down here just long as I can. And at the time I had cancer, so many people wrote in, many of you wrote in and said, we're praying for you, the Lord will spare your life. And I thank you for it, because the Lord heard those prayers. But a dear lady right here in Southern California, and if I called her name, you'd know her, because she's the one that actually translated the Bible. And she's now gone to be with the Lord, and the Lord bless her, because she was a friend of mine, and she and I carried on, though, a running debate long as I was a pastor. Very friendly, of course. And she wrote and told me, she says, I'm not praying that the Lord will leave you here. I know that you're ready to go. And so I'm praying that he'll take you. And I wrote her back in a hurry. And I said, listen, you let the Lord alone in this matter. It's just between him and me. And I don't want you to tell the Lord when he wants to take me home, because I want to stay. And I'll just appreciate you not praying that prayer anymore. At least changing it and tell him that you made a mistake, that he wants to stay. May I say to you how foolish that is to take that kind of a position? I want to stay down here as long as I can. And I recognize I'm in the presence of a mystery, and even my Lord learned something in this. And that's all I can say. I can't say any more relative to it. Now we're told here, verse 10, he's called of God an high priest after the order of Melchizedek. Now, the word called here means saluted, and it refers back to Melchizedek. He's going to discuss this matter of the priesthood of Christ, the high priesthood of Christ, and that Melchizedek was given to us in the Old Testament, only two references back there to him. But they were given because they were to be a type of the priesthood of the Lord Jesus Christ.